What if the answers to your strangest memories, the flashes of light, the lost hours, the shapes at the foot of your bed, aren't buried in space and time, but deep inside your own mind? Tonight on Paranormal 360, we explore the use of hypnotherapy as a bridge between consciousness and the unknown. Can hypnosis unlock the truth behind alien encounters, missing time, and other moments of high strangeness? Our guest, Leslie Mitchell Clark, is a certified clinical hypnotherapist who's helped experiencers uncover what really happened during their unexplained events. And sometimes what they discover changes everything they thought they knew about reality. Could hypnosis really reveal proof of extraterrestrial contact, or do we risk opening doors that were closed for a reason? Let's find out. Joining you now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is Leslie Mitchell Clark. Thank you so much for being here tonight, Leslie.
Oh, Dave, I'm just thrilled to be here and to be able to engage with your wonderful audience, all the beautiful peeps who tune in, and of course, to see you again. So fantastic. Great to be here.
Always great to catch up. Let's talk about a few elements of this, because I want to start in more of the skeptical range to let people that are out there riding the fence, not sure what they believe when it comes to aliens, ghosts, and the paranormal, and more importantly, what to believe regarding hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people out there that are disillusioned. Maybe that's the most polite way to say it.
Yeah.
They have hallucinatory issues and believe they're seeing aliens and fairies and monkeys. Oh my. But what's really going on is that they're having a mental breakdown. How do you, as a hypnotherapist, how do you discern between, oh, this person is very deeply rooted in hallucinations, as opposed to this person is having real encounters?
Well, Dave, that's a fascinating question and something that probably many people would like to know, because it is, how do we distinguish between fantasy and reality?
Yeah.
Well, the law, especially in Canada, and I believe in the U.S. as well, makes it very clear. As hypnotherapists, even a master hypnotherapist, we are not permitted to work with individuals who have been diagnosed with a mental health illness. Now I'm not talking about just, you know, anxiety or some bouts of depression. I'm talking about borderline personality disorder, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, dissociative disorders, all things that are really in the serious realm. So, I myself am also a psychiatric technician in the United States, which is like a psych nurse. So I have dealt firsthand with what I would call, you know, mental health issues in their most severe forms, and some of it before we even had psychotropic drugs to manage these conditions. I'm talking about padded rooms, straitjackets, very draconian. And Dave, it's not that long ago. So that's, I've seen that. But when I am about to, or when I've been approached by someone to possibly conduct a regression session to retrieve episodes of high strangeness, I have a long interview with them. And I can tell you, but by, I suppose, professional experience, instinct, the questions I ask, when I'm done with that interview, I have a pretty darn good idea if we are talking about a genuine experience or if we are talking about a dissociative event of some sort. So now I can also, it's also possible for me to go sometimes into the medical history of someone who's approached me, if I can get their name. These are all my intake forms too. Mm-hmm. So if I really am in doubt, I will call their primary physician.
Okay.
And so I make darn sure in every way that is possible that the person coming to me is going to be in solid mental health condition. And I tell you, most people, now this may also surprise you, you know, you would think, you know, in the media would have us think that, you know, experiencers are like these poor people down south with six teeth, you know, and that,
right.
You know, but I can tell you that the majority of the people that come to me are highly professional. They are judges. They are doctors themselves. I have a preponderance of educators at all levels. And most of these people, I would have to say the commonality of the experiences that come to me, they all seem to have a rather high level of psychic ability.
Okay.
Which
are
is,
are they aware of it?
Not always.
Okay.
But I have a basic premise after all these years of doing this, 25 years, that the commonality between all of these diverse experiencers is that these people have a high psi abilities, PSI, and they are easier to work with, to communicate with.
Okay.
And that's maybe one of the reasons why experiences seem to follow in genetic lineages.
You mentioned earlier about dissociative issues. In what sense? Now, I know that some of us bear what we call screen memory.
Yes.
So we're seeing aliens when you start. Now, is that dissociative? Because maybe what happened to me was as a child, I was actually being taken advantage of by a close loved one or relative. And in order to protect my brain from that, I imagined it to be an alien.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you mean through the distance?
Well, in one sense, and I don't deny that that could happen, but then there would be other evidentiary symptoms of someone who had been abused. And I ask those, they don't realize that's what I'm talking about, but I do ask those kinds of questions. But abuse would be a trauma. We do alter our own memories to be able to handle them. That is a fact. But we're also contending with screen memories that are put on us like a shellacking or a coat of paint. And that's something I would very much like to get into, because I'm telling you, there is no kind of memory suppression, either ED or government, that cannot be foiled.
Really? So there is a way to get that end around through hypnotherapy and get to the real answers.
Dave, I do it every day.
How are you still alive, Leslie? I would think that if the government is running some shadow organization and they're trying to hide our memories, the last thing they need is the Keymaster, Leslie Mitchell Clark, digging around in people's heads.
I know. I think I'm just such a low-end risk, because most people consider hypnosis to be either, you know, something one sees at a carnival, or they don't. I think I'm not really taken seriously. However, I'm actually in the process of becoming a psychotherapist, so that may take me a little more seriously then. But I just don't think that the powers that be think I'm a threat.
Well, at least that's what they want you to believe.
Okay.
They're keeping an eye on you.
Maybe they are.
As we are. tonight we're going to talk about hypnotherapy, regression, bringing things back from the past. Is it always a good idea? Is there a reason that these things are cloaked in our minds? Should we leave some of these on the doorsteps of our past and move forward in life without digging into that treasure trove of insecurities and frights and fears? We'll talk more about that with our guest, Leslie Mitchell Clark. We do have a link for Leslie on today's program guide. And remember, if you like what you see and you read any of the books that you pick up from any of the authors on this show, make sure that you rate and review those authors as well. That goes a long way to help them get more exposure and be seen by a wider audience. We'll be back with more Paranormal 360. All right, so maybe, just maybe, you fell asleep after seeing a bright flash in the sky. You wake up to feel out of sorts and not quite sure what just happened to you. And then you stand there on the precipice of, do I want to unlock that door? Do I want to step back through time and see what happened to me? Leslie Mitchell Clark, our guest, has a unique perspective on this and an insight, because she works with people that deal with this. And Leslie, I was a part of a fascinating documentary that came out this last year. And it's called The Outer Edge. And during one of the conversations I had with a gentleman who believes that he had alien interaction, I've asked about regression, and he said, you know what? I don't want to go down that route, because once you get that door unlocked, you can't lock it again. That memory is yours. Right now, I can always think, I wonder, I think that happened to me. But once you have that firm confirmation, there's no giving it back. How do you help people with that? Because is there a warning before they go through hypnotherapy to be cautious that Pandora's box is open and now we're going to get what comes out?
Well, first of all, I have to say that all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. Okay. I'm really a guide. So this kind of Manchurian candidate idea that I could go in and really mess with someone's mind and make them reveal something they didn't want to reveal. Now, I'm not saying that cannot happen with some bizarre programs and twisting and perverting some other things like with MK Ultra. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but in hypnotherapy, therapeutic hypnosis,
Right. And maybe I didn't make my question clear. I wasn't questioning you as though you would go in and manipulate, you know, as an experiencer. Right now, I believe I saw a UFO. Right now, I believe I was in close proximity to an alien. It's one thing to kind of believe that. It's another thing to go through the hypnosis and be confronted with, oh, my God, this isn't just a dream. Right. This happened to me.
I see what you're saying. Right. Now, bear in mind that many experiencers, in fact, I believe that all experiencers are really lifetime experiencers. Mm-hmm. They just don't always remember and a variety. When I get in there, there's never one experience. And so the people that come to me are dealing with a lot of suppressed memory. Suppressed memories are bad. They're bad in our you know, temporal existence, in our linear timeline that we're living right now. They are bad, unhealthy. It is unhealthy to suppress memory. So many times, not always, but many times when people come to me, and this is sort of my criteria too, Dave, they have to have at least a partial memory. Or, you know, and it's Kathy Martin, God bless her, what a sweet soul. Kathy Martin is the one who gave me that indication. When I was very new at this, she said, you know, this is what I've come to, and it does eliminate a lot of problems. So someone comes to me, and almost always they have a partial experience, several partial experiences, part of a memory. And that's one of the ways that I am able to ascertain if their experience is legitimate, because there are so many commonalities in what happens to experiencers. And if they start telling me a very legitimate, what I feel is a very legitimate story, for instance, many people don't mention that in a contactee event, it's very common for the atmosphere of the room or the space where they are to appear to be blue, and for the atmosphere, excuse me, Dave, to feel thicker, more viscous. So when someone says that to me, there's not too many people who have even written about that. I mean, I have, but not too many. So I look for those little
red
sparks,
flags.
Those little red flags. And by doing that, also what you find is, and this as a psychologist too, when a memory is ready to be addressed, whether it is a trauma from childhood, or whatever, or an interdimensional experience, whatever it is, shards of that memory will start to pop up and percolate. So usually when someone comes to see me, they have been very sort of tormented by these sort of fragmentary experiences. So when I get them in there and we take a look at what actually happened, it's usually highly relieving. And also, I'm very, very careful with my clients and with their feelings and their emotional state. So I always, almost always make them an observer. In other words, they might look down from the ceiling at whatever is happening to that physical part of themselves. And if at any point they begin to have emotional upset, I immediately take them out of their bodies and make them observers. So my goal is not to exacerbate trauma, but to relieve trauma through knowledge and information and a new understanding of who they are.
Hmm.
And so,
well, let me ask you this then. If you're doing this work and you believe that it's either generational or that they've been having this probably from a very early age,
yeah,
you notice that there is a specific element to the people that have these experiences. I'll plant the seed, which I probably shouldn't, but like the fact that a lot of these kids came from dysfunctionality, came from maybe abusive situations, came from things so that, you know, that they've picked properly. They've picked a family that people are going to question what this child might may say if they start remembering. Mm. Do you see anything like that? That's a thread through all of your kind of patients that come into you?
I wouldn't say exactly that, but there does seem to be a thread of what I would call deprivation.
Okay.
Of, you know, hard scrabble growing up, usually some sort of a, you know, something's different about this kid, maybe some social difficulties. Mm. By and large, people are highly functional and successful.
Okay.
So there is a percentage of that, Dave, you're right. And of course, as we know, teens at risk, what you describe, mm-hmm. are also at risk for a lot of paranormal phenomena that they may attract to themselves. And by being in a low vibration kind of place, you know, so what I believe what our friends, what our extraterrestrial cousins are looking for are high vibrational relationships where they can, like a step down transformer, they can come down a little bit. And we can go up a little bit and we can communicate and work together.
I like that. Leslie Mitchell Clark is our guest for this hour. We have a few more segments left together. When we come back, alien versus ghost. I'm just curious, do people that you've spoken to, and you don't have to answer me now, we'll do this after the break, but have you ever talked to people who believe that they're being haunted only to uncover that it's actually aliens and vice versa? People that believe they're having alien encounters because there's something strange and foreign in their room, but you believe that through this regression, it uncovers the truth of maybe a soul, a visit that's coming back to them. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about more of the alien style stories. And has our guest ever been in fear after unlocking something with someone? We'll discuss that and more right here on your home for the paranormal. This is Paranormal 360. Okay, Leslie. So let's start getting a little, you know, elbow deep into this and
all right.
Start to examine the way these things kind of unfold. There are a lot of strange stories that I've heard over the last 20 years of doing radio, talking about the supernatural, that seem to mirror experiences. Mm. Shadow people, ghosts, and aliens seem to follow a very similar pattern in the way that they're observed and experienced. When you're doing a regression, do you ever stumble upon the fact that, oh, Dave, those aren't aliens. That's your angel, or that's, you know, your mom trying to come through, and vice versa? Do people that think they're dealing with ghosts, you blow their mind by peeling back the veneer and realizing that what's there is not of our planet?
It happens all the time. It happens all the time. And as I mentioned very briefly earlier, I think, you know, as above, so below.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people who have a high PSI ability have had not only extraterrestrial, but metaphysical and paranormal experiences all their life. So when the atmosphere in a room changes and they see some glowing thing, you know, it could be Uncle Dud, not, you know, Alpha Rex from the planet Maldek, you know, so it's... This does occur. And generally speaking, almost all the people that come to me have had both types of experiences.
Are they more unnerved when they realize it's alien or when they realize that there's a dead person watching them?
I think unnerved would be maybe not exactly the word,
okay.
But some of the people, and actually a pretty sizable chunk of the people that I work with, feel such an attachment to the extraterrestrial beings and they actually experience, you know, a kind of a homesickness. And that makes me think that, you know, a certain amount of these people are what we call, you know, star seeds, beings who actually had very prominent, or not prominent, but very significant lives in other planetary locations. And they incarnated on this planet now at this time for the big event. This is this, we are, what I always hear, and this is also in messages that are brought to me from the individuals that I'm working with. And that's kind of another thing, Dave, after working with these dear people for a while, we are often able to get into a kind of a real-time communication with a extraterrestrial being, kind of like what happens with Bashar, in a sense. So the client becomes almost a channeler for this being, and I ask a lot of questions. And Earth is unique in this, from what I hear, in the sense that the flora and the fauna are so diverse.
Mm-hmm.
We have not only diverse humanoid species, you know, the five fingers of man, and we can't even get along, right?
Right.
There may be, there are angelic phylums. There may be, you know, beings, you know, flameless smoke that we call the jinn. I think at least some phenomena is mischief by jinn. We have beings that have not...
For listeners that aren't familiar with that, they've heard of aliens, they've heard of ghosts, they've heard of demons,
yeah,
and angels. What is the jinn?
Well, according to, you know, the Holy Quran, as I understand it, the jinn is a specific phylum of being, also created by God, but kind of imperfect, and they're sort of in between humanoids and spiritual beings. They live in their own dimension, as it were, but some of them are very naughty and try to manipulate people into doing naughty things. Some of them are very good and try to influence positivity upon individuals. But
you're describing my children, Leslie. Some of them really want to manipulate and force me to do dumb, bad things. And the other ones are very loving and supportive.
It's very much like that, Dave. That's very true. Just mm-hmm. like your kids.
Yep.
But but the jinn, if you've read any, well, genie is a version of that kind of spiritual being. But the jinn can appear as human. So they're another phylum of being. And that I believe also exist on this earth, which is why even in Islam, they have exorcists. Did you know that? Yeah, they do. So they have to kick those jinn out sometimes, but they don't think really in terms, they believe in demons, but I believe the Muslim perspective is that most of this negative phenomena is a jinn fiddling about.
Let me ask you this then. So with all of the different belief systems out there, the way these things represent, and it seems that a lot of alien races are able to shape shift, or at least alter the way we perceive them.
Yeah.
Boy, how does anybody keep this straight? Because there's so many different subcategories of the strange and unusual when it comes to encounters.
I know.
I'm often left scratching my head of how much of this is... Maybe we haven't even, every bit of it, everything we think we've named is just one entity that just plays with humanity.
Well, I think kind of the opposite. I think it is a universe of incredible diversity. Now, in our quadrant of the universe, or quadrant, we, in our, what we would call in our soul group, we are all kind of roughly, you know, humanoid. That seems to be kind of a pattern. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are insectoids, there are reptilians, but they have two arms, two legs, you know. So there seems to be a kind of an accepted galactic form that, okay, that many of these beings take. Now, when I was first doing past life regressions and And I would, you know, bring people into their one of their former lives, and they would go through the process, and they would appear before their council, which is not punitive. It's an advisory council. I first would ask these people to my clients to describe what the members of their council looked like. And they would describe not only humanoids, but definitely ETs with elongated skulls, you wow. name it. They would describe it. So then I came to realize after asking just the right questions that our heaven, our levels, our higher vibrational levels are shared by beings of many diverse descriptions.
We have 1 minute left. Let me throw just a quick little nugget at you. When you did the past life regressions, did you ever come upon somebody who was, in fact, an alien in the past life?
Oh, yes. And this happens so frequently. It happens with people who don't even come to me for a metaphysical process per se. In that way, they are looking for just a straight ahead past life, you know, regression, because I leave it up to the powers that be to select which lifetime a person visits, because what they are supposed to hear about is the lifetime that presents before them. Now, we can direct someone to a specific life. We can do that. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, I really enjoy allowing the power of free choice. It is a universe of free choice, Dave.
All right. Let's take our final break here. We'll come back. We have one more segment, and I want to get in even a little deeper into this with Leslie Duchaux-Clarke. We'll do that next on Paranormal 360. Leslie, somebody comes to you. They want some insight into what's happening to them for this high strangeness you've prepared. You're a place of safety and comfort. Mm. There is no judgment. They go in. Is there ever danger for you for unlocking these, that these aliens, these beings, whatever they are, know you're opening this back up that they've tried to close or seal down? Do things ever start to affect you? And are you afraid of being abducted because of it?
No. No.
Broad answer like that.
I have never been fearful, probably because by the time I get to that point with the person, I have a pretty good idea even what kind of ETs we're dealing with. And invariably, it is an uplifting experience. And you can actually, some of these evolved beings are around, you can actually feel the atmosphere around you accelerate.
Why bury these memories? Why not let somebody walk away from that experience feeling enlightened, enlarged, and as though they're now in tune with something so much bigger
I think, Dave, that ultimately those memory suppression techniques do dissolve.
Okay.
I have been told that even, you know, the ones used by the government for their nefarious purposes and the ones that used by ETs can only last maximum about 25 years, which is probably why most of my clients come to me in midlife. You know, so the memories are starting to bubble up. As I said in the very beginning, I do not believe that for a human being with our curious nature, that complete memory suppression indefinitely is possible. I don't believe that. And we get through it, and it's healing. The person is able to integrate their enlarged experience and identity into their life. And also, Dave, remember, sometimes seeing me is like the last chance Texaco of mental health care. And these dear people, these special gifted people, need to hear that they are okay, that they are not alone, that they are safe, that some of our future is they're holding in their hands.
Do people ever feel that once they've started poking around in there and they come to realize what they're doing, do they then see an uptick in current visitations or abductions?
Yes. sometimes. But it may, again, just be that they start to be aware in real time. And that's what we're looking for. I just want to tell you this quick story. I had an experiencer who, and many of these dear people, it's almost like they have another job.
Okay.
You know, they may leave their physical body, but as they become more mature, most experiencers travel astrally and not physically. And some ETs travel holographically. So there's all kinds of different stuff going on. But anyway, this poor guy was a college professor, and he was doing stuff every night. He never got any sleep. He was dragged out. And I said, okay, well, look, let's try this. Let's just try talking to them. Just explain that and tell them, you know, I don't think you really understand that our physical bodies need this kind of rest. And let's make a deal with them that they can come and work with you and do whatever you want to do on the weekend. But during the week, you got to have your sleep. And guess what? It worked.
Really?
40 years of being bugged every night. And that's all it took. We're not dealing with gods here. They may be down the road further than us. They may have some diverse DNA, but some of these beings, they're really just like our cousins.
Well, you say, you know, we're not dealing with gods here, but there are a lot of people that ascribe angelic and demonic encounters to these alien races. As a matter of fact, there are some people that in the midst of dealing with it will call upon Jesus or God and rebuke these beings. And they've said that they've, you know, recoiled in anger or frustration, and then they skitter out of the room. It's kind of interesting, right? That in evoking that name, I wish that worked for my ex-wife.
I know, but, you know, and my ex-husband, I know nothing worked.
How do you make sense of that?
I'm a relapsed, prolapsed Catholic. So I grew up with plenty of that type of symbology and what have you. Now, the beings don't want to really disturb us in that way. That's why most of this stuff happens when we're asleep or semi-conscious. And that's why they use memory suppression. They think they're doing a good thing so that we can continue in our three-dimensional lives. But they don't understand how suppressed memories are toxic for us. And I think they are starting to now, and you won't find as much of that. But I forgot what I was going to tell. I had a great story for you, Dave, and I forgot. Anyway,
you know what, Leslie, it's okay because we can always have you back on the show unless you get abducted. And then I'll have to send out, an SOS to the Galactic Federation to bring you back. We've got about a minute left here together. What do you want to do? Tell people right now that might be having these experiences and are feeling terrified and alone.
I want to tell them, do not be afraid. The veil is thinning. If you're in midlife and you are an experiencer, it is normal to begin to have breakthrough memories. And if anyone would just like to call me and talk to me, I am always available. 416-454-8041. And that is a secure line. And I will be happy to talk to you and you can tell me what you're experiencing and I can see if I can, you know, be of help. But do not be afraid. You are not insane. You are not losing it, but you are a very special, gifted person.
Excellent. Leslie Mitchell Clark. We'll have a link for her on today's program guide. Give that phone number out one more quick time.
That's 416-454-8041. It's possible now to treat people online, and I do it all the time. Okay.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And whether these experiences are interdimensional, extraterrestrial, or something far closer to home, what we've learned tonight is that the truth, whatever it is, hides in spaces between memory and mystery. And hypnotherapy may not just help people remember what happened, but it may help heal them from it. My thanks to Leslie Mitchell Clark for guiding us through this fascinating intersection of science, mind, and the unknown. And if you've ever questioned your own strange experience, maybe the answers aren't out there in the stars. Maybe they've been waiting for you inside all along. Thanks for coming along on this journey. I'm Dave Schrader, your host, and it's Strange and Supernatural each week right here, Paranormal 360.